CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. I hope you are ready to go this morning. It's Wednesday, and we are more than halfway through May. I mean, blink, and it's June, and then it's the middle of the year. So count your days. I mean, it's just incredible, right? I mean, you literally, I know this used to irritate Ben when I'd bring it up, but you blink, and then before you know it, it's the middle of the year. And people are like, oh my God, I had so many dreams and ambitions for 2022, and now I've run out of time. And that's how it goes. Very annoying. All right, so we've got St. Piwe Mtetwa here this morning, as always, the lovely St. Piwe, and she is ready to keep us company this morning, along with Sunil Osman. How's it, Sunil?
All right, how are you?
All right, all right, all right. Nice to see you guys. How's your Wednesday turning out? You wake up feeling good this morning?
Yes, fantastic. I did.
Fantastic.
Well, I mean, St. Piwe has got, she got a, St. Piwe got a, yeah, last Friday, was it Friday or Thursday? Friday, one
I
of them.
I think it was Thursday.
Yeah, she got roses sent to the office by a secret admirer. Yes.
Oh, gosh, stop it. You're going to make me blush. So,
that makes St. Piwe by far the most popular person at Cliff Central for 2022. Nobody else has had anything like roses delivered by a secret admirer. So that's very nice. I mean, I'm
quite flattered.
Yeah, well, you have been saying on the show for the last, I don't know, year and a half, like, send me stuff. You put out your gift list every other day. So I'm not surprised that someone eventually took you up on that and said, all right, okay, bitch, I'm going to send you something.
Yes. You know the famous saying, ask and you shall receive. And definitely I did receive. Yeah. It did put a smile on my face. I'm still blushing a bit.
Nice. Look at you.
So, yeah, it was a cute gesture. And, yeah, you know, who knows? We might end 2022 no longer single. That will be interesting.
Wow.
You're giving yourself a six-month window.
Yeah. That's right.
Your 6 months is long. Is that how long talking stages are? 6 months? Sure.
Well, listen, I mean, at least you've got a prospect. I didn't talk about this on the show the other day, but I forced myself. It sounds so terrible when I say that. I'm going to take it back and start that sentence again. I went on a date. Okay. So, I woke up after I got back from Mexico. I'm like, you know what? This bullshit of being so satisfied in your own company and I'm okay with being on my own, and I am. All that stuff's true. But I was like, I've got to – if you don't make an effort, you know, it's like that old story about the guy who prays and he prays and he prays. He says, dear God, please let me win the lottery. Please let me win the lottery. And God says, you know, in reply, he says to him, well, yeah, okay, all right. I'll help you to win the lottery. He's like, oh, please, God, I'm pray. So for weeks and weeks and weeks, he does this. And the lottery numbers come up and hell, he goes, oh, I didn't win. So God, like, says to him eventually in frustration, he's like, well, meet me halfway and buy a ticket, you know? So, I sometimes think, I'm like, well, what I need to do is I shouldn't, just because I am happy, and I mean, I don't say that in a glib way, because people often ask me, like, you're not married, you don't have kids. And I love those questions because it means that they think that I should be married and have kids, which is a compliment. I consider it a compliment. I know lots of lovely people who are very happily married and have lovely children. And there's a part of me that thinks that that still might be in the future. But there's another part of me that is completely satisfied with where my life is at the moment. I wake up in the morning feeling really pleased to be me. I don't want to be anyone else. I've never looked at anybody else and been jealous. And I sometimes think, all right, well, you can carry on down this path, or you can go on a date and you can meet someone. And then if, things spark and it's great, well, then see where it goes. Don't be closed to anything, right? So I went out on a date. I went out for dinner with this girl who she's very pretty. She's clever. She's all of these things. She ticks a whole lot of boxes. Yeah. And it went really well. And then I invited her to something on Friday last week with a whole lot of my friends. And it was also fun.
Oh, you guys are even on a second date now.
Yeah. So she came to the Well, I mean, when do you consider it like you're now dating? But I mean, it went really well. So we'll see again. I'm not closing any doors, but I'm certainly not saying, this is the thing for me. So we'll see where it goes. But I mean, Simpiwe, you got to open yourself up to that stuff too. And if someone's sending you roses, there's probably other people out there who want to send you roses too, but they just haven't manned up enough to do it.
Oh, well, send. I'm telling you now, please do send your roses and whatever you get me.
Simpiwe,
I will not say no to anything and anything. In fact, the key to my heart is just to spoil me. Just spoil me.
You want a blesser.
Yeah.
Change my ways of being single. That's, I think that's the best way.
Yeah. No, I think that's
great. Are you saying you want to bless the Simpiwe?
I'm not opposed to being blessed. You know, that means I don't need to worry about paying for petrol bills, debit orders. You know,
at, like, at this point, I'd be willing to. Like, I'd be willing to be blessed. I mean, listen, considering the price of petrol and just the cost of living in general, we should all find a blesser if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you got to do.
That's where I'm at.
Do what you got to do.
I'm definitely there.
Well, listen. I mean, if there's anyone who's like, let's say you're a woman in your 90s and you're on the verge of death, but you've got millions in the bank. I'm available. I mean, it's got to be a very specific, you know?
On the deathbed.
Yeah, you got to be like a couple of months from death, because I don't want to be around some smelly old 90-year-old for too long. So it's got to be a couple of days, max a couple of months. I'm not going to go much further than that.
Nothing wrong with bolt-on, Gareth.
Sunil and I, we were getting ready for the show this morning. Normally we don't talk before the show, but he was on nice and early, and so was I. So we were just talking nonsense. And he was telling me about radio and kind of how it's going there, because he and I both used to do radio. I haven't listened, and I don't listen on purpose. I've mentioned this on the show before. If I listen to radio, then people ask me what I think, so I don't listen. Because then I can't say anything good or bad, and then they don't think that I'm poisoning, you know, their opinion of radio if I don't like it. Or saying like these great nostalgic things about radio, which are no longer true. So I just don't have an opinion on radio anymore. But you still listen, right? You still are in touch with what's going on there, Sunil?
Yeah, I listen, especially when I'm driving around and trying to keep in touch with what's going on. And radio's changed so much, Gareth. It's like, I know you say you don't listen, but as I mentioned,
what do they do? What's going on there?
There's so many changes happening all the time, and some of the presenters don't. And with all due respect, because there are some really good, talented presenters out there still.
Yeah.
But some of them are like, I'm like, why are you even on radio? What? This is not radio. It's like they've forgotten about the listener. And it's just, you end up changing between different stations and trying to listen to something, and then end up just putting the radio off because it's not what it used to be. And yes, maybe it's because I came from a talk radio background and all those kind of things too. But there's just this ego and... Mm. You get a show if you have 3 million followers.
Where's the content? Are they putting people on who just have big social media followings?
Yeah. I mean, there's one radio station right now which I've noticed they're doing pretty well with mixing up that with talent.
Mm-hmm. Who is that? Give them credit. Who are they?
Yeah. So they are called Star FM. And Star FM... If I could get on Star FM right now, I'd be like, Gareth, sorry, I can't do the show.
Who is there that we would know?
So lots of the people like Nicole De Silva is there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They moved. I mean, if Nicole left 5 to go to Star FM, and that's huge because she was there for 15 years.
Sure.
And then there's Justin Turin and just some really highly talented, younger talent, not that I'm old, but young talent from back in the day. And then you get people like Greg and Lucky who are a great double header, and double headers don't always
work.
They
used to do,
but they work very well.
They were on afternoons on 94.7, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they now do the breakfast on Star FM, and the mere fact that I know that shows that I'm listening to them more.
Yeah,
than anything else.
I mean, again, like if we had to have a general knowledge quiz now about who's on the radio, I would definitely lose. But I'm glad to hear that there are still people that are making interesting radio. I mean, listen, what we're doing here is not different from a content point of view. It's just the technology that we use is different. But what bothers me is that
absolutely.
Is it so much of it? It's just, I mean, it's the same in podcasting, right? I mean, there are good podcasts and there are terrible ones.
We spoke about podcasts as well. I mean, when Cliff Central first started, I remember I was on my way to Miami to go meet the people from Hot FM.
Oh, yeah.
And what they were doing internationally is what you were doing then already, but South Africa wasn't ready for it. And what's interesting for me is that people in the US or overseas that I've interacted with in radio can work for 6 or 7 different radio stations and there's no problem. You can't be part of 10 different brands, otherwise you get
you've got such a huge market over there and they do something which we don't do, syndication. So you can be on, you do one show but it goes to like 10 different stations, so that's also how they do it. There's quite a lot of interesting stuff happening in the media world. But I saw, you know, talking about these people who have all these followers, I saw just today, you know, Elon Musk might not be going through his deal with Twitter. And I don't want to talk about Elon because we've discussed that before. But what's interesting is that they're doing an audit on people's followers. And they discovered, for example, I mean, this is really, I think this is pretty telling. And it's kind of a bit scary because what it means is that all the media agencies that rely on like getting people with followers, you know, that's what people talk about. Like, how many followers do you have? That's how valuable you are. They might be using completely terrible statistics and metrics. You might have been bullshitting because, you know, someone's paid for an influencer who has 20 million followers. Turns out they only have 10. I mean, that's the case with Joe Biden. So he has some 23 million followers or something. I mean, this is very strange for a man who got the most votes in any US election. That's what they say, right? And he has apparently half of his Twitter following is bots.
Yeah.
Half of it
is. What happens is a lot of people buy their followers and then they are also what they call bots. And the bots are just stagnant. And I know of people in South Africa that have bought their followers. And I know that they are bots.
It's just very weird. It's weird to me that like that was the metric for measuring whether someone was important, famous, successful, influential, all of those words, was how many followers they had. And now it might just all be bullshit. It might be completely false. The reason that the whole Elon Musk deal is stopped or they may have to change the price of you know each share of Twitter is because if those are fake, then you're not really reaching. You see, if I know I'm going to reach 10 million people and it's going to cost me 20,000 rand to have 5 seconds of those people's ears, then I'll pay it. But if you tell me that I'm going to reach 10 million people, but you're actually only going to reach 2 million people, then I'm overpaying for you, not only as a Twitter shareholder, but as a client in the media who's trying to reach those people. And you see, this is where the whole media thing is just, it drives me crazy. I still have meetings with people who think the old way about media. I mean, Simpiwe has been in meetings with me too, where I start rolling my eyes when someone goes, well, you know, we're trying to reach like these 10,000 of your listeners. And I'm like, no. If you do stuff with us, they're your listeners. Because they don't come. I don't chain my listeners to a post and say, now you have to listen to this. People come and go as they want. You know, we have people who tune in for 5 minutes in the show. We have people who stay for the whole 2 hours. We have people who listen at different times. Some people who are on episodes 10 episodes back. And some people who've never listened to us. And that's great. That's what makes it awesome is that they choose. You know, in the old days, like you were saying just now, Sunil, you'd get in the car. Usually, if there was more than one person in the car, then you didn't even necessarily get to choose what you would listen to. And then there'd be something on.
Yeah.
And you'd have to listen to all the crap. Like, let's say you were actually just a music fan and you just wanted to hear a good song. And then you had to listen to the news and the traffic and the weather and the sport and the ads and then the DJ telling you what time it was, and the DJ telling you what their name is, and the DJ telling you what the station is, and you're like, play my fucking song. You know, it used to drive me crazy. Yeah. And I was on the radio. I was like, we can't keep doing this to people. It's part of the reason we started doing this. And it's so bizarre to me that that old formula still carries on in some ways. Like, it's
yes.
You know, it's like there's a group of people.
Station ID.
But Sunil, I mean, look, there are obviously people who still buy LPs, right? There are people who play records. We all know someone who play, but they're in the tiniest minority, and they're weird people. I mean, God bless them. Some of them are my friends. People like Randall Abrams, who's like, he's a music aficionado. So he believes that the record is a better, you know, a better way to listen to music and to experience music. And it's a better form of recording. But they're a tiny minority of people. I mean, most people, I don't know anybody who even still has CDs on a shelf somewhere, let alone LPs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, no. Yeah. Barrett is one of those. He buys CDs.
Yes, but Simpiwe, Barrett listens only to 80s music. You can't get that in digital.
Oh, yeah. That's the issue. I forgot. Sorry, guys. No, next.
But you know what I mean? It's like there's some of these people who are like, no, we'll carry on doing things the old way because it's going to come back eventually. It's like, no, guys, it's not.
It's done.
And the way you measure
it's
these
that
things.
It's the old saying of, old is gold, but new is what to do.
Yeah. Oh, EP47 says, I like Sonos speakers. So do I. I've got one of those little, I got one of those little portable Sonos speakers. I'll tell you what, first of all, that comes in really handy when there's load shedding because you charge it up before and you connect it to your phone and you can keep listening to music. So that's awesome. I love that. That's really cool. He's going to get himself the Sonos Arc soon. Sounds amazing.
Okay. We see you.
Yeah, there's some funny comments coming through here. So Ruth says, that is such bullshit. So I once had a bot rush on my channel and I disabled them. I nearly got to over 1,000, but I want real people on my channel. How do you disable a bot rush? And I mean, that sounds pretty horrible. It sounds like something that happens to you at a festival where you're high on drugs and people take advantage of you. A bot rush.
But does she mean your comments were like all spam, like on some, hey, I'm Sydney and I did this and you can win and that, like those kind of comments.
So what happens with a bot rush, and she, the person can correct me if I'm wrong, but you put out something on social media and suddenly a bot picks up something, a common word, or the algorithm picks up a common word, and all of a sudden you just have an influx of the most random followers and comments that come through that are completely irrelevant to what you're speaking about.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. But okay. I mean, that shit's got to stop. Like if Elon does, if he does eventually buy Twitter, the only thing I'll ask is that he takes a blowtorch to this thing and he completely removes any fake accounts, like any accounts that are operating on an algorithm that are picking out words that are not real people, anything without a picture in the profile for a start, without that real person's ID. Well, you should all be verified. I mean, I don't see why only famous and supposedly influential people need to be verified. Everyone should be verified. You should have to give them your ID. You should have to prove that it's you. And if you if you break the rules, you get banned for life. And if you are if you're saying something that is offensive, you have to take the punishment. But you know, they shouldn't be operating stuff in the background that they don't tell us about. That's unethical.
Yeah, and they definitely need some sort of system in place where hackers doing clickbait things can. Oh, my account was hacked.
Ugh, dude.
3 weeks ago.
Oh my god!
4 weeks ago, it was.
Can I ask you something?
Terrible.
Are you also getting Simpiwe? You'll be able to help me on this too because you're like our social media expert. Have you had friends who suddenly, out of the blue, you don't hear from them for like a year or so, and then suddenly they're like, "I have started investing Bitcoin and blah blah blah," and they've got like some. But you can tell it's not them. Like, it must be a bot or it's some kind of hacker or something.
Yes.
And they're not even aware of it.
Their accounts have been
hacked. Right. So, I mean, that's first of all so annoying. Let me tell you what happened to me yesterday. And I feel bad about this, but I got to get it off my chest. So on my way into the office yesterday morning, I kid you not, for the 12th time in 4 or 5 weeks. The 12th time this has happened. I get a number from this Cape Town number, and I've got that app, that
True Caller
that tells you, it tells you who it is, right? And it's always from Telkom Mobile. They're trying to get me to upgrade or to change my number or whatever. They're like, I'm going to save you money. And then when you ask them, well, do I have to change my contract? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, no, thank you. I'm fine. I'm very happy. Because I'm on that network and I like them. And I said to someone 4 calls ago, I was like, guys, please take my name off the list. I'll tell you why. Mm. I'm happy with you. I like your service. I like your pricing. I'm a satisfied customer, but if I get one more call from you, I'll find someone else. I will. This is like harassment at this point. I do not want to hear from you again. So please just take my name off the list. Put a little asterisk there that bad. This is a grumpy old fucking asshole or whatever. Don't call him again. Whatever. Say, you know, call me whatever you like. Just don't phone me again. I don't want your upgrade. I don't want to know about your new pricing deals. I am not interested in getting a call from you ever again. And if you make that deal with me, I'll stay a customer and I'll keep paying my bill and we'll be happily ever after because that's what you're in my life for. I don't need you as company. I don't want to hear about your new deals, blah, blah, blah. So that was 4 calls ago. 3 calls ago, it happens again. So I'm gritting my teeth, but I tell them the same thing again, right? 2 calls ago, I see them coming in again, and it's always around 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning. So I just can the call now because I've got Truecaller. But yesterday, I'm driving in, and the call comes through, and I go, hi. The guy goes, hi, sir, we're from Telkom Mobile. I just want to ask you if you want to have an upgrade, blah, blah. So Tim, listen to me carefully. If you fucking call me again, I promise you I'm changing networks. And this is not an idle threat. I am ready to press the button. Just take my name off that goddamned list. And I never want to hear from your company ever again. Do you understand? This is your last chance to keep me as a customer. Forget about my last chance to take advantage of your deal. And then I put down the phone. I felt kind of bad because he's just trying to do his job. But, you know, really.
I don't understand how, like, some companies, how their systems works. Because when I got my tracker, for, like, the first month or so, the tracker company that I got was calling me to be like, hey, do you need a tracker? And I'm like, but I'm a customer already. Like, why are you calling me? Like, does your system not tell you that I'm with you guys? Like, you're taking my money. It's like, what happens? Why am I talking to 5 different people about the same thing? They must update their systems. Like,
Well, you know what they do, and there's something very unethical about this too. You talk about how marketing, you know, they give you the wrong number of followers, or they charge you too much for X, Y, or Z in advertising and marketing. But this is another place where they lie and they deceive. And really, somebody should, if they just sent one person to jail, then all of this would stop. And I'm not trying to be controversial, but they should send like one marketing executive to jail for this stuff. And I promise you it would stop straight away. So we have this Protection of Personal Information Act, POPI Act, right?
Yes.
Which supposedly means that you shouldn't be put on a database without your own permission, that they can't sell your information on to marketing companies. And a lot of these companies just buy a database, right? Sunil, you know about this too. And technically, you should be able to charge those people with breaking the law. It's a crime to do that. Because of the POPI Act, there is legislative backing for you to actually take someone to court. And if they are found guilty, they could go to jail or face a very hefty fine. So someone somewhere has just got to take them up on this. Because what's the point in having rules and laws that we all must comply with when nobody actually enforces those laws? So someone's got to go to jail and then it'll stop.
Yeah, and the best is when you get these repeat phone calls from people, and then you say, "Tell me, how did you get my number?"
Yeah,
and that's when they hang up.
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Well, someone says here, my brother fell for the upgrade deal with another network. They never canceled his existing contract. He ended up fighting for months because they took 2 payments off of him every month. You see. That is criminal, right? It's really, that's just terrible. Congo Chris says, these telemarketing companies pass contact information around like a cake knife at a fat party.
Wow, Congo Chris.
That's one way to put it. Sure. That's a really good, nice.
Wow. Okay, dude. No. All right. But, man, it's just one of those, I just don't understand how the system works, because it's like,
yeah.
Besides passing the data, it's just like, do you guys not have one long list? And when someone takes off someone or their information, everybody's list gets deleted. That's the bigger issue as well. It's like, I'm a customer now.
Well,
you have my details. I gave you my details, but you're still calling me to.
Right. What? But at the same time, like here is, so even if I don't take you to court because you've broken the law, because that could end up being expensive for me, right? I mean, I'm going to have to pay for lawyers. Mm-hmm. So I understand why maybe people haven't done that and why it's not our job to enforce what governments put in as rules. But here's the deal is that when they call me for the 25th time and I say, take my name off your list, like Will Smith said to Chris Rock, take my wife's name out of your goddamn mouth, right? I should be able to get that. At least I should be able to say, okay, well, guys, don't call me again, because if you call me again, I'm going to be a bit fucking pissed off and I might want to sue your company. I reckon next time they do it, I'm going to ask who the head of the call center is, and then I'm going to ask for who the head of that whole division is, and then the person who's in charge of that. And eventually I'm going to get to the CEO and I'm going to say to him, all right, now you have two options. Either I'm going to make an example of you because we'll go to court and I'll find some lawyer who'll do it pro bono probably, and we will sue you for lots of money, lots of money. Or you just take my name off the goddamn list and give me, I don't know, couple of hundred thousand. I'll leave you alone. is that extortion?
There was a comedian, I can't remember who the comedian was, but I remember watching their joke, and they said, when the telemarketer phones you and they ask, hello Garrett, this is so-and-so from so, how are you today? You must go, I'm really not doing well. I'm really not doing well.
Yeah. Well, there's also, so I used to when I had the time to play with these people, and it's also cruel to do that because they're really just trying to do a job, and a lot of them are being paid horrible salary. Yes. They're sitting in a room with like 200 other people on headphones, and you know, it's not easy. And I used to go like, what are you wearing? And make mouth noises and shit. That really freaks them out. Then they very quickly put down the phone after that. That's pretty gross.
I've actually apologized a few times. I say, look, I know you're just doing your job, but this must stop. This must stop.
Yeah. DK says, sure. Tell them you own a legal company with 100 lawyers and they will track them down and sue their asses off. Yeah, that sounds like bullshit straight up. I'm just not, I don't know if they'll buy that. Yeah.
Do you know what companies are scared of? Is the minute you utter, I'm going to tweet about this. And then they're like, oh, okay, how can we help you? And you're like, I'm going to make you check. I don't know what it is about social media, but all companies are scared of trending for all the wrong reasons. And they know it only takes one complaint on social media for everyone to be like, Vele Telkom, you're useless. Yes,
maybe
it must fall.
Maybe that's so what I'll finally...
you say that.
Maybe that's what I'll finally use my Twitter account for, because I haven't used it for like 3 years. Maybe we'll use it as just like a... It's basically a trolling account, and we will just troll businesses that I don't like, and they'll have to pay me money to not troll them. They're so you're right though, Sipiwe. Yeah. They're so scared of trending for the wrong reasons that they'll probably pay.
They'll be like, excuse me.
It's like hush money from the mob, right? I mean, I'll be the mob on Twitter, and I'll say like, if you don't leave me alone, or if you don't give me $100,000, I'll just talk about you on social media until you're blue in the face. You'll be begging me to stop. I'm going to send round Simpiwe.
Not hello, Peter, but hello, Gareth.
Yeah. I'll send round Simpiwe and Fanundo come and shake you guys up a little bit, you know, cause a bit of trouble for you. I like that.
Oh, we're so sorry, Gareth. We apologize. We'll no longer call you. We have removed all your data off this list. Rest
this
assured,
is good.
No more calls.
This
I promise
good.
You, that's what they're going to say.
Gary says, I either answer the phone as Boxburg blowjobs or Germiston Mortuary. That's clever. That's good. I like that. Vadner says, tell them to hold on a moment. Then you put the phone next to your earphones in a drawer and play some elevator music and carry on working.
So cruel.
Oh, yeah. No, I love that. That is cool.
That is
cool. I like that a lot.
Oh, my gosh.
You say cruel, I say cool. Same thing. I sometimes... I mean, this is the right music to play, right? That's all you play. Or else.
And you know the calls are recorded.
Yeah, exactly. And you keep them going for a whole long time. Or even better, do you remember this music when you would call this would be extra ironic because it's Telcom phoning me, but imagine I put them on hold and then I play this. I'll say that. I'll do it, and I'll do it in the voiceover voice. Your call is important to us. Please hold. And I'll keep that going for like an hour. See how crazy they go. Oh, that's good. That's so good.
200 in the line. Yes.
Oh, my God.
I'd love to see how long that call would be if they're actually going to wait.
Ad B is a genius. It says, no, you give the phone to your 3-year-old and you tell them it's Santa Claus. Oh, that's so great. That's so great. Wow. I love that.
Oh, see, I like that one. Mm-hmm. I just don't have a 3-year-old around. Oh.
Well, you got roses. If you work fast, you can have a 3-year-old in a while.
Wow.
I'm not ready for a kid yet. No. No,
well,
not at all.
Here's an interesting question. And Sunil, we haven't asked you about this before we get to headlines. Talking about court, do you think that in the end, the Depp and Heard thing will settle out of court? Well, no, because they've already ruined each other's reputation. There's no point in settling now. If they wanted to settle out of court and keep some of this really embarrassing information away from the public, they've failed at that. This is the most public and humiliating trial for a long, long time. So I don't know what the point of settling out of court would be. They've swallowed this pill and it's got to go right through the system now. What do you think?
Yeah, I also feel that they've started something that has to go right till the end. It can't suddenly just go settle out of court. It's not going to be one of them going, okay, no, I'm sorry about your dog stepping on a bee. I'm out. No.
I can't believe that was even part of the testimony. I mean, Simpiwe, have you been watching?
Yeah, so I watched like clips on Twitter and YouTube because I can't stomach the whole thing.
No.
But I wouldn't say my new favorite person, but someone who's like everyone's loving on social media is Dr. Carey. Dr. Carey. Like everyone's like, she's so hot, she's so sexy when she puts on her glasses, mm-hmm. and everyone's like, okay. I'd love to just like see her. So I'm seeing it from that perspective as well. It's just like how people are getting distracted by Dr. Carey and she's like, she's so hot. Whatever she says. Yes, we agree.
Amazing. people are so easily distracted by this. I mean, here we are. We're already distracted from our own stupid lives. Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's stuff is not going to affect any of us at all, right? None of us.
Yeah,
so it doesn't have any impact.
Well, it's not bring out some things.
It'll bring up interesting subjects, and by the way, we've discussed it a lot on the show. But it doesn't really affect our lives. Then, within that distraction of Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, we're distracted even more by like some character of this testimony or that psychiatrist or this lawyer or whatever. So inside the distraction, we still have more distractions. That's how dumb we are, and we keep falling for this stuff.
Yeah. There was a trend actually of how Johnny's lawyer keeps touching his hand and touching his arm, and they were like, "Oh, that makes such a nice couple."
Oh wow!
There was a trend going out on that.
People are dumb. People are so dumb.
Yeah.
All right. So here's a story. This is an unfortunate story. Paramedics were held hostage while an ambulance was stripped of 300,000 rand in engine, gearbox, battery, and tires. You know, again, I don't think we're talking to the people who listen to this show, but when are we going to learn in this country? It's like when people burn down a school because they're angry about service delivery and then no one has a school to go to, or when people put rocks in the road and they damage the road because they're angry that people haven't given them toilets or whatever. All we're doing is you're not making it better for yourself or for anyone else. You're making it way, way worse. So I understand if you're a desperate person and you think the only way that you can make money is to steal, but just understand that when you do that with an ambulance, that's one less ambulance that could be the one that rescues you in a situation where you really need it, or a family member or a friend. I mean, I don't mess with ambulances. I get out of the way when they're on the road and they flash and they need to get past. I know those paramedics work hard. They are mostly, I mean, these are volunteer people a lot of the time. Some of them are professionals, but some of them are volunteers. They are there to save lives. And then they get held up by like petty criminals who are going to steal car parts. I mean, some people really, I mean, we just need those guys who did that. The people who held up that ambulance, really, there's no need for a trial there. We just shoot them in the head. Those people are holding the whole of society back. It's just, and do not let the paramedics try to save them when you shoot them in the head. Honestly, this is just a terrible story. So speaking of Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, because it is the big news story that everyone's talking about, she has finally decided in the trial that it is torture and she wants to move on. Now she wants to move on.
Oh, my word.
She told the jury that she filed for divorce from Johnny Depp in May 2016 because she feared for her life. And she said, it's torture. I wish he would just leave me alone so I can move on with my life. I had to leave him, she said. I knew I wouldn't survive if I didn't. I was so scared that it was going to end really badly for me. Well, you've ended up in court with him suing you for ruining his entire career. So I don't know if it gets much worse than this, Amber. Yeah. I don't know how much worse you expect it to go. Heard said Depp would become a physically and sexually abusive monster when he was drinking, and her efforts to curtail his drug and alcohol use had failed. The monster had been this thing that was now the normal and not the exception. You know, the way people talk,
that's also just in itself, like,
such bullshit.
That
right?
entire sentence doesn't make sense. What do you mean?
It sounds like something.
You're okay with him being a monster once a week?
Yeah. You know?
And
precisely.
She even admitted to doing drugs herself, so she's just trying to push her own things onto him.
Well, for his part, Johnny Depp, during his 4 days on the witness stand, denied ever hitting Heard and claimed that she was the one who was frequently violent. He filed suit against her when she wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post in December 2018. And by the way, the Washington Post should also be sued in this case because they just published this without any evidence. And then he lost all his jobs as a result of that. And I'm no Johnny Depp fan. I'm really not a big fan of his. But this just seems really unfair. So he should go after the Washington Post as much as he's going after her. Anyway, the Texas-born Heard countersued, asking for $100 million and claims she suffered rampant physical violence and abuse at his hands. So we'll see where this goes. She says, filing for divorce was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Well, wait till you have to pay over $50 million. That'll be the hardest thing you've ever had to do.
I'm so sorry.
I don't think she has $50 million. Do you?
No, nobody has it. She's going to be paying, $1,000 for the rest of her life, because that's what they do.
Right.
Something like that.
And the most privileged human being that's ever existed, Prince Harry, is terrified of what social media could do to his children. Oh, this man is the weakest man in the world. If a girl married a guy and he was this weak, she would be thinking to herself, I think being a single mom is probably easier. Because this guy is just absolutely incapable of looking after himself, let alone children, let alone me. He has two kids, Archie, who's 3, and Lily, who's 11 months. He slammed online companies for designing platforms at the expense of young people and insisted it was impossible for parents to protect their children from harm on the internet. No, it's not. It just means hard decisions, like not giving your children a phone until they're of a certain age. That's all it takes. Harry?
How to use parental control?
Just learn to say no, Harry.
Parents need to take a cup. Right. Accountability.
Thank you.
Just take accountability. It's your child. And whatever the world does, you just need to prep them. to be able to live in this world. You can't be like, oh, this is bad, this is good. No, you need to teach your child what's good and bad, and then like throw them into the world and see if they survive. So
Look, again, I'm not a parent, so I'm not going to tell other parents what to do. But if you're going to be complaining about the internet, just understand the internet was not designed for you to be a better parent, and the internet was not designed for your children. It was not put together with that in mind. Otherwise, it would be something that only existed in, you know, preschool, and we wouldn't use it after that. The internet has many different uses, and by far, it has more good things going on than it has bad. By far.
Mm.
But certain stuff is absolutely inappropriate for children. Guess what? I'm sorry, parents, and I don't like beating up on parents on this show because I know it's tough being a parent. But it's kind of all in your court when it comes to this. You can't expect the whole of society to conform to your parenting style. You need to adapt your parenting style either in a more strict way or in a less strict way, so that you can control what your children see. You're the one with your hands on the controls if you're a parent. It's not my responsibility or Simpiwe's or Mark Zuckerberg's or anyone else to make sure that your kids don't get, you know, to see some offensive tweet or much, much worse than that. It's really up to you. And I'm sorry, the rest of us are not about to give up the marvels of the internet just because you can't raise your kid properly. Sounds horrible, but that's how it is.
Nope.
Agree, Sunil?
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, there's a lot of truth in everything that you said there, because if you look at children at the age of 3 years old now compared to 10 years ago, a three-year-old knows how to go onto social media. They know how to use tablets. They know how to use all these things. Jeez, they don't just learn that when they come out of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Three-year-olds? Really?
They are... If you can go find a three-year-old that actually goes and knows how to operate the TV, knows how to navigate YouTube, knows how to navigate what they want to watch because mommy and daddy have shown them.
Mm-hmm. That is true. You're preaching.
If you're
this goes back to they must take accountability. That's all I'm saying.
All
take
right.
accountability
no,
of your child. That's it. I'm not saying you're a good parent or a bad parent, but just take accountability of the things that you expose your child to, because whatever you teach your child is what they're going to bring into the world. And so if you teach them right from wrong, I think by the time you ship them off into the world, they'll be able to survive whatever's thrown their way. That's it.
Well... Psilocybe says, isn't Prince Harry a frog who used to be a prince? I love that. That's great. Yeah. I think Harry's kids are going to be more pissed off that he walked away from royal status. Congo Chris, oh, you better believe it. When those kids grow up, they're going to be like, you know what, Dad? We could have been living in a palace now. You're living in this shitty house in Malibu.
Dude.
With mom who's just constantly trying to be on TV, and with you who's moaning about your mental health the whole time, we could have been in a palace. Are you kidding?
I'd be big mad. I would, like, I'm thinking now, if someone was like, oh, you're actually from royalty?
Yeah.
I'd be like, all my life I had to struggle. Excuse me?
Imagine them going to some shitty LA, even a good LA high school, and they're like with Kardashians and like other trashy celebrities, and they're like, Lily or whatever her name is, Archie, they walk into school that morning. Archie goes, Lily, I wonder if the other children will call us your Royal Highness. And they walk up and the other kids go like, who the fuck are you? And the kids are like, I wish Dad had just kept our titles. Dummy.
I'd actually be like, this is abuse. Can I sue you? The pain and trauma? I would have lived a very soft life. In fact, I could have been living a royal life.
If I were Lily and Archie, I would try to get William and Kate to adopt me and get rid of my parents. Just push them into the sea. How did you do?
Like, shucks.
Unreal. My son's therapist is treating a family with a six-year-old who's addicted to porn. She was left alone with an iPad, says Tracy. Yeah, you see, now that's just, Jesus, that's bad. That is just absolutely horrendous. That's an actual, I mean, I have no reason to disbelieve Tracy, but a therapist treating a six-year-old is addicted to porn. I mean, really. You know, if you're a parent,
God. guys know.
Jesus, bad. That's really bad. EP47 says, definitely, GC. I got angry when I found out my grandparents and parents sold land for dirt cheap because they thought the government were going to take it from them again back in the day in Kryfontein. Yeah, you see?
Oh, wow.
You find out your parents cheated you out of something. I said to my parents the other day, I said to them, you know what? Don't expect any special treatment when you get really old and you need to be looked after. But unless you've got some inheritance in the bag for me, expect nothing. Cheapest, nastiest old age home where they feed the old people dog food and it's not even warm at night. No.
Oh.
Pay.
Why?
Either you have the retirement policies that you should have been putting in place the whole way through your life. You look after yourself, and I think they do, so I'm not too worried. But I like the threat anyway. Oh. You know, it's amazing how when you're the kid, your parents are like, you're going to live in my house, you can live by my rules. I'm going to be like, well, you're not even getting into my house, but I'm still going to make the rules for you when you're old.
I can't wait to, okay, I know I'll never say that to my grand, but like in my mind, I can't wait to be like, you did this to yourself. I'm not helping you.
What you should say to your gran is like, the next time she makes some kind of unreasonable demand, you must be like, just remind me how much inheritance I'm getting again. Because she's going to say, well, that's just a nice way of kind of quid pro quoing that.
I'm going to try that. And if I don't get a slap, then.
Well, I hope you don't get a slap. So one last quick story in the news. They've managed to avoid flight cancellations at OR Tambo. They secured 20 million liters of jet fuel just in time.
Wow.
So that's, again, very good work by, I suppose we'd have to give who? AXA credit for that? Or the Jet Fuel Forum Committee, which is a body made up of the Department of Energy, Airports Company South Africa, and the International Air Transport Association. They announced that the supply of jet fuel remains sufficient for all airlines operating at OR Tambo. So there we are.
That's how long?
Well done, the Jet Fuel Forum Committee.
Yeah.
Sounds okay.
Yeah, that's well good.
Done. Yeah.
I didn't even see that.
20 million a lot for an airplane? Because I know that they burn through petrol like quickly. It's nothing. So is that actually a decent, should we be happy with 20 million or
no that, they like to have 3 to 5 extra days of fuel in reserve, so you should have enough to be able to do 3 to 5 extra days, but it's not petrol simply where they use kerosene and naphthalene. Well, they use avgas is what they call it, so it's just a slightly more refined form of carbon-based fuel. But I mean, again, if we can repair all of that damage in KZN and get all our transport routes and our various networks and railways and all of that stuff reconnected and back up and running, then this won't be a problem. So again, get cracking, municipality of Etegwini, and let's fix everything. We need to get these things moving. All right. So speaking of Etegwini,
everybody listening out for those tenders.
Oh, yeah, you know they are, right? Dude, you know that's going on.
Dude. Yeah. And you know, my only issue is that it is eventually going to get fixed. Like, they are going to repair the roads. It's just how long it's going to take them, which is my issue, is that a project that can take them 6 months is going to take them 6 years. And it's just like, Come on, guys. Let's move with the times. Let's be on it like this. Come on now.
Well, they're already making excuses there. I saw someone on the news yesterday who was talking about, we're waiting to secure funding from Treasury. I'm like, you know what? This is exactly why people pay taxes. We don't pay taxes so that we can pay the Cubans 50 million rand, which we apparently gave them last month. So if the government is not prioritizing this, then I don't know why we need to have a government. I mean, it's that simple. This should be priority number one, not just for the people of KZN, but for the people of South Africa who need reliable transport to and from our ports. Fix Durban Port, fix the railways, fix the roads, and get on with it. That's why we pay you a salary if you're in government. No more excuses. We want action. All right.
Yes.
So there's something interesting happening. A friend of mine I haven't seen him in years, but he's busy putting together something called Beats in the Bush, which is amazing. It's South Africa's first music, lifestyle, and safari experience all in one. How does this sound for you, Sunil? Nice, huh?
That sounds like a jewel.
Yeah. So it's going to be at a place called Bayala Safari Lodge, which is a premier Big Five lodge, which is based in the Munyawana Game Reserve, which is in northern KZN. So imagine, and I'm trying to just picture it for myself before we bring Brett on to explain it to us. Imagine being in the bush with a whole lot of your friends, this magical natural surrounding, and a party at this lodge. And then you can go for a safari the next day. You can see all these wild animals and also, of course, support local tourism, which we know has had a very tough time recently. So here he is, Brett Rue. How are you doing, man?
Gareth, how's it? Good to see you.
Good to see you. This sounds really good. And Sunil and obviously Simpiwe and I are all very, very excited about the sound of this. When did the idea first start? And have you done it before or is this the first one?
So, Gareth, this was really an idea that stemmed out of lockdown.
Right.
The necessity to get things going back in the tourism industry after everything that happened with COVID and that horrible debacle.
Yeah.
So we started it last year and we had our first event. We had 3 weeks to execute it, which was obviously immense pressure at the time.
Damn.
And we pulled it off. We sold out and it was an amazing success and it's gone from strength to strength from there.
But surely because this is in a private game reserve and it's a lodge, there isn't accommodation for everybody. So it's limited, right? There's only a few people who can actually come.
Yeah, it's very limited. So the idea was to kind of target a large wedding size event. So
okay.
we thought at our age that was kind of like a sweet spot. So something that was not going to be like a big festival that was going to have 5,000 people and something that was not going to be just something very small, like 50 people. So we kind of aim for that 200 person size. So it's very intimate. It's extremely, and because of that, you can get like a real personal detail. We're able to pay great attention to our guests. It's enough of a size to create a really good energy for the event, which is, you know, it's basically a wedding in the bush without all the formalities.
A wedding without a wedding couple. So all the good stuff about a wedding. And by the way, some amazing musical guests. And I mean, I've seen Good Luck in concert before. They're absolutely incredible. Plush, amazing. And you've got some other names there as well. So it's only it's 2 nights.
So it's 2 nights in the bush. So it's a short, sweet event. I mean, it's relatively close from Joburg, very close from Durban.
Yeah.
We actually co-promote the event with Good Luck. So our business, our African Footprints, which is a travel business, I used to work in the music industry many years ago. I reached out to Jules and I said, "Hey, Jules, would you like to play?" And she said to me, "Brett, I'd like to do one better. I'd like to co-promote." And so they're obviously a key factor and a very big necessity when pulling this all together with their experience. We've got some amazing other artists, including a name a lot of people recognize on that team sheet there, Plush, which we basically pulled them out of retirement after 8 years.
That's
Rory and
so
I are good
cool.
friends. I'm godfather to his daughter.
Okay.
And so excited to get them out of the wilderness, yeah.
That's so cool, dude. All right, so let's just talk about the details of this for a second. So it comes out of lockdown because obviously a lot of these places, especially the local lodges that relied hugely on foreign tourists, and we know that we've seen a massive decline in foreign tourists. We know that the travel and tourism business, the industry, has really been hit very hard by COVID. And there are lots and lots of people who found it extremely difficult to get back up and running. I mean, the costs of running these places is, you know, very high. If you're in a private game reserve, you've got to fix fences, you've got to look after staff salaries, you've got to keep the lodges maintained, you have to look after the animals. It's a massive, massive thing. And if you don't have that regular tourist income, that hits people very, very hard. And some of them have obviously gone and had to sell and had to make very, very difficult decisions. But now we're seeing a return. And what we need to do here is stimulate the local tourism industry, which is probably a little bit harder than the foreign money, because the foreign money, when you exchange it for rands, is a lot more, right?
100%. You know, COVID was catastrophic for the tourism industry, and those lodges cost an absolute fortune to to keep going.
Yeah.
The staff relies purely on that tourism to come through. And more importantly than almost all of that is that, you know, their fences to be maintained and the animals to be looked after and the APU, which are the anti-poaching units too, to be supported. And, you know, when tourism ended, and when it ended, we all know that it ended on one day. It just dried up. There's nothing anyone could do, and it ended for a long period. And so a lot of these lodges, or all of the lodges and everyone in the industry, suddenly found themselves going, how do we make this work and how long can we hang in here? Mm-hmm. And so they hung in for a period, and it became more and more catastrophic, more and more of a worry. And eventually things started loosening up, and it was through the support of the local market initially that really got everyone sort of back on their feet, at least just to get some income to pay staff. And, you know, a lot of the lodges support the local communities and have there's a big emphasis in supporting the local community. So it really rippled down. It was a very difficult time for everybody in the industry. And as I said, so that's kind of what we thought, hey, let's do something and get tourism back on the map and do something exciting. And obviously concurrently with the tourism market, the entertainment industry also got absolutely hammered. So yeah. it was a good blend of kind of
all right, so,
trying to get energy back into
Someone just asked in the comments, isn't blasting this loud music out into the game reserve, isn't it that bad for the animals? Is that something that you get from people often?
Very often, and it's a valid question. I mean, obviously people want to voice their concerns about these sort of things. But we set it up like we would, as I said earlier, as a wedding would. Mm. The sound is quite restricted because it faces inward toward the lodge. And if the animals don't love it, they are they're welcome to walk away for a brief period of time. But we generally find that they're fine. Hey, they manage to cope well. You know, a lot of game reserves run along communities that play music, and we actually find that there isn't a big effect on the creatures. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good news. So everything has to be included with something like this, because you're really in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you're out in nature. It's beautiful. It's slightly isolated, but you said the tickets are limited. What do those tickets include if people are coming along?
So it includes everything, which is your accommodation, your live music, all your meals. There's a little pool party event that happens in between. It's your nature walks. There's yoga that's happening for our guests. The only thing that you pay up and above for are your drinks, because we all know how people are. Whole weekend. Yeah. It's a whole weekend taken care of. You can leave your wallets at home.
Yeah, no. If you're going to be drinking, Simpiwe, Sunil, you know, when Brett says, you know how people are, I saw you both smiling, because that's the one part that everybody...
I was like, no, never. Yeah. What are you talking about? Never.
And a G&T in the bush is never just one.
All right. Well, listen, good luck to you. I think this sounds absolutely phenomenal. So it's at Biala Safari Lodge. You can find out more by going onto Howler, or you can go to beatsinthebush.co.za, and you can find out all about these dates, 27, 28, 29 March of 2022. So I'm sorry, May. So it's in just 2 weeks, right? Next weekend.
It is out. We're right around the corner. We've only got a couple of rooms available. It's our last little push now.
Oh, wow. Okay, so basically this is your last chance. Go ahead and do it right now. I think we just lost Brett. I think he's just been cut off. All right, but there's all the info you need. How does that sound? Sound like a good way to spend your time?
I think there should be a bar tab.
Yeah. All righty. I see you, Sunil. I see you want to make sure that you can just drink easy without having to worry.
That's it. You said leave the wallet at home, so I want to completely leave the wallet at home and just worry about maybe having a warm shower.
Well, you are going to have a warm shower if you're there. But Tracy says, I doubt 6060 delivers that amount of booze in the middle of the bush surrounded by apex predators. So, yes, make sure you bring along your wallet. Okay, so that sounds like fun.
Yes.
All right. And
the
you
one
know
thing
what?
That was going through my mind mm-hmm. when I was hearing him speak was, oh, I hope this is not a fire festival. Like,
No. They've already had, they had one already last year, so it doesn't sound like it is.
Oh, okay. So I can trust, okay. Woosa.
I'll vouch for him. He's, yeah, that's for real. Okay. Very, very nice. That's what we've got time for in this hour, but we've got a whole other hour of stuff coming your way, including, I'm very excited, Professor David Block, who I know everybody has missed and who everybody loves. He is an astronomer. He is a highly sought-after international speaker. He's devoted over 40 years to encouraging people to always look up. That's what he says. You'll meet him just now if you haven't met him before. But Prof. David Block is going to join us because we have to talk to him about the photograph of the black hole that they took in outer space. And we're going to talk to him about that eclipse that we had on Monday, which I think a lot of people are still interested in. So all of that and more on the way. CliffCentral.com. Don't you go anywhere. We will catch up with you in just a moment.
CliffCentral.com.